Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic. And we are back for our podcast. Everything is terrible.
Wait, everything's terrible.
I'm sorry, I screwed up.
Fuck.
Everything is traumatic. Everything is terrible. But our podcast is called Everything is Traumatic.
That's right.
Thank you. Apologize to the Everything is Terrible people.
Yeah, they're already a thing, right? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think there is one called Everything is Terrible. So.
Oh, man, we're going to get lumped in with them so fast.
Yeah, we are going to get sued.
Well, maybe not. We'll find out. But thanks for tuning in and listening. Today's episode, we're talking about the Amish. But before we get into it, I know this is a sensitive topic for Jeff. So we got
this is tough. I mean, my emotions are already sort of. I can feel myself quivering.
I mean, if you listen to last episode. You know how I feel about tolls. This is how Jeff feels about the Amish.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out why. But before we do that, we're going to give a quick shout out to our top fan, Tiffy Stallsworth.
Tiffy is pretty awesome. She's a local film producer, actress. She is partner with Jameson Stallsworth, who I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but we love him.
Oh yeah.
He's an amazingly talented filmmaker. And those two together are Knoxville film royalty. So, shout out to both of them.
Yeah.
Let us know you listen and we'll shout you out.
Well, I want to preface that we usually bank these for like 6 weeks out. So if,
yeah. So if there's an emergency, we're not here.
Yeah, if there's an emergency
Don't call us. Yeah. Please do not call us.
Don't. We're not. We're 6 weeks behind or 6 weeks ahead.
We'll be in our summer homes during the summer or maybe the fall when you hear this. We'll be in our fall home. So
we'll be in our fall
home. I will not even be in Knoxville. We'll be on the lake in the Hamptons. Martha's Vineyard.
We won't be.
We will not be here.
We won't be here. But
you're sort of breaking the whole showbiz magic. They think that we're talking right to them live. But
I know
this is not live.
You know, I don't. I wonder if people will like start treating everything different now that I broke the illusion that we're this is every week that we're doing this. I mean, it kind of is every week that we're doing this. It's just. You know,
we're doing them ahead of time. We're just keeping them stocked up so we can keep them rolling.
Keep them rolling. Keep them coming. That's right. I mean, you got to keep them coming out.
You got to do it when the momentum is going. I mean, we are still got a lot of passion for this and we got a lot to talk about. So we're just going to keep doing them.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit in our last. Our last session about travel and the return of the travel is also difficult because, you know, you get away from work or your routine or whatever, and then you get in a new routine and about the time you get the new routine down, you have to come back. And so then you have to totally just toss the vacation routine and slide back into the real world routine. And that's traumatic.
Maybe that's the episode. Maybe I misspoke with the Amish. I think maybe the return, the hero's return is traumatic.
You know, I mean, it's so crazy. And we've talked a little bit on this, that we work so much for tidbits of vacation time a year. And then the vacation is so short and it's like we need more time than a couple of weeks a year. And most people don't get that. It's crazy that we are set up in the system of you work all week long, you have your weekend, and then once or twice a year you get a vacation from the grind.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's just an odd system.
Well, I think it's because the system's a little out of date. If you think about it, like the 40-hour work week was, it seems like it was built for the nuclear family of wife, father, the little Holy Spirits, the kids, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel it's now, that's not the norm. That's not like the standard. Like 40 hours is not enough time. It's not enough time to, it's too much, or it's too much time. I'm sorry. I'm misspoke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much work time, I feel. And especially just enough to like be poor, enough to survive. It's totally fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mess. And also in the 50s, 60s, 70s, nuclear family, 2.5 kids, whatever, you could have a one income family and have a house and send your kids to college and all these things. That is not really possible now to have if you have kids, to have a one income family, unless one of the incomes is incredibly high. It's very, most people, everybody works.
Yeah.
So on the vacation, we watched this show called Tiny Homes. Have you heard of this show?
I think I like that show.
It's pretty great. The people that make the tiny homes. So what they're doing is taking people from normal size homes, a 2,000 or 3,000 square foot home, and put them in usually the largest tiny home is like 600 square feet, down to 250, 300 square feet. And so they're usually dealing with families. Sometimes it's just a couple, but you know, one of them was like a lady that's like, I don't get to see my kids. And so we're going to go from a huge home to a tiny home so I don't have to work. But I mean, then they've got five of them with the three kids and two parents in a shoebox, basically, that would seem to drive people insane. I mean, it's so small. But I think it's sort of like, you know, if everybody had a tiny home, everybody could have, if we split up the whole thing and everybody had a place to stay and we didn't have to have huge homes, you know, who needs a 25,000 square foot home? Who needs that?
No one needs it.
I mean, Brad Pitt needs that. But besides okay. Brad Pitt, who needs a 25,000 square foot home?
It's more of a want than a need, isn't it?
Definitely.
I mean, I live in a...
But you can't even use that, right?
I mean,
that's what you
can't. I feel like I could.
You can't.
If I had that much fucking room for a home, oh my God, I would have a studio and all sorts of shit set up.
But do you know how big 25,000 is? That's really, really big. I mean, probably what you're talking about normally is those celebrity homes are maybe 10 to 15,000 square feet. That's huge. Well, that's a warehouse size.
Yeah, maybe I am like underestimating how big this thing is.
And I mean, this is not a wealth shaming.
No. We okay. I can't speak for Jeff, but I will shame the wealth all the time. Screw you, you rich fucking greedy bastards. Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? It's not that people can't be rich. It's that they have too much. It's not necessary. You could, Brad Pitt could live in a 3,000 square foot home and be totally happy.
Tiny home and be fine.
It's almost like a status. Yeah. And I'm not picking on Brad Pitt. I think Brad Pitt's
we can
a
name
good
another
actor.
One. I don't know what kind of Leonardo DiCaprio. He could live in a tiny home.
Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know how big
he could live
is
in a tiny house.
But they're all big. It's just, you know what Matthew McConaughey lives in? He lives in a trailer most of the time. I think he has a huge house.
He could
too.
Live in a tiny home. But, he could live in a tiny trailer. Compromise.
Yeah. Yeah. We have enough. We have enough in this country and the world that everybody could eat. Everybody could have a home. We have enough. But people go crazy and start calling that communism. It's not communism. It's just let's take care of everybody.
Yeah, it scares everyone hearing that word communism, socialism.
Which brings me back to my hatred of the Amish. Right.
That's what all of this was a roundabout way to getting, because that's the most tiring part of trying to get back into the work schedule, the work week, especially going up to where you went to. Is
yeah, we went to Pennsylvania, Coatesville area right outside mm-hmm. of Philadelphia. And there is a lot of Amish farms there. And just quick disclaimer, I think the Amish are probably wonderful people,
right.
But their haircuts really annoy me. And the whole pants thing they wear, those pants that the men wear, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I mean, it's just like, we don't have to wear pants that other people wear. We get to wear our own pants.
Wait, what's their pants thing?
Their pants are weird. They're like they have buttons in them and stuff. I don't know if they can't use zippers because it's too much technology. Okay. They're like flannel pants. They're flannel. They
look comfy.
They are healthy, I think. I've never seen a overweight Amish person. Have you ever seen a picture of an overweight Amish man?
No. What I meant to say was they look comfy.
Oh, comfy.
The pants look comfy.
Yeah, they do look comfy.
And they do. I mean, and you're not wrong. They look healthy, too. So, I mean, you're right. You weren't.
Yeah. Everything looks healthy except for the haircut, which does not
Wait,
look
why is the,
normal. It looks
what
like
is the haircut?
It's like a cobra. I don't know why they have those bowl haircuts, the men do. That looks like they're, you know, it's like a golem or something, or like some kind of, I don't know, just like a, it's not a good haircut. It's the kind of haircut if you went into the barber and you would be like, this is not an okay, this is not normal.
I've kind of often wondered if there's a connection between Abe Lincoln and the Amish.
He didn't have a good haircut.
Because, I mean, a lot of them, it feels like a lot of them are just cosplaying Lincoln, right?
Yeah. Except, yeah, they have the beard.
They have the mustacheless beard.
Beard, yeah.
And the shitty haircut. All they're missing is a top hat.
Yeah, that's true. You may have something there.
I feel
there.
Like there's a connection. Was maybe Abe the first Amish? I don't know.
Or are they... You know, it's crazy because you're driving down these streets and it's the part of Pennsylvania we were in when you're not in the cities is just gorgeous. It's so beautiful. The farmland is just so gorgeous. You're just driving in your car and all of a sudden this like horse and buggy comes at you. And it's just like, it's so weird because there's a horse and buggy and they're all like, so it's weird to me because it's a horse and buggy, so it's not a car.
It's got a plexiglass. It's got a turn signal.
Yeah, and they got like the warning signal on the back that's drawn, like in the hot orange color. So it's like that seems modern. You know, the plexiglass is modern, and the little thing, but we're still in our fancy pants and horse and carriage kind of thing. So it's just. It's a contradiction. Yeah. I hope no Amish are listening to this, by the way, because we're not anti-Amish. We're just trying to point out some things that we find confusing.
Are you worried about the Amish listening to this?
Well, I mean, I don't want to offend a whole group of people that are they're strong.
Jeff, at most we have to worry about Meta Knights. Amish, they don't fuck with electricity.
I mean, Mennonites are totally different.
The Mennonites are a little harder to point out.
Yeah, they don't do the, it's, I think they may even drive cars.
Yeah, some of them like, they drive trucks and stuff.
Yeah, they have a different, I'm not sure the difference, but yeah, they are a little, they're like a,
I think the,
not so extreme.
I think the main difference is that they use technology and like electricity and stuff,
right,
whereas the straight Amish do not. My only experience with the Amish is when I went to Pennsylvania, which was sometime last year, and I remember being behind the buggy with like this family of kids. And I had went up there with Sandy, and like I'm like waving at the kids, and she's like, they're not gonna wave, and they all just like death stared at me.
Oh, like you? Yeah, I don't think they really. Do they call us the English?
I think so. Yeah.
Or are they?
No, we're the English.
Yeah, they don't interact with the English if they don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're rude.
No.
I think it's just they're separate, right? They're from a different world. Mm. Even their accents are different. They speak German and Dutch and some of their words.
Oh,
so,
yeah, there, Don.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Went on down over there, Don. Is that right?
That's what they sound like. Exactly. You know, and I mean, they might, I know that they would not be listening, but they might have a lobbyist or somebody to anti-Amish material and inform them.
That's true.
That's
possible.
And if they can put up a barn that fast, they can take down your house in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. So I don't want to upset them.
No, I get it. But I mean, we don't have any listens in Pennsylvania as of this recording. So
okay.
We're safe until we're safe until we get bigger. And then
that's true. We're safe until we have a big break. And then it's going to be,
Jeff and Tyler apologize for Amish.
We're doing a press conference. We see a guy with a hat and an Amish beard in the back. Hey, my name is Jebediah.
Oh, duh.
Why are ye anti-Amish-y? I sort of sound like a pirate.
I like your interpretation of like an Amish, though, because it is kind of like a pirate almost. Like,
So,
Don. So,
so, there is a place, there is a town in Pennsylvania called Intercourse. Oh. And I mean, because I'm like a 12-year-old boy, I just giggled and giggled every time we would drive past the sign that said now entering Intercourse. And there's also a town called Blue Ball.
Oh,
that is the truth.
Already,
Blue Balls and Intercourse.
I'm already getting sequel ideas, Jeff.
Okay. Excellent. Gooch Land.
From Gooch
Land. Gooch Land, we're going to Blue Ball.
But before we had Blue Balls, we had to cure it with some intercourse.
I actually read why they call it Blue Balls, because they used to, this was sort of cool. We were at an Amish sort of museum kind of thing, and it was like they would just say, we'll meet you over there by those balls, or like we'll meet you over there by those blue balls. And so that became the name of the town. Apparently there were balls, or they like whatever. I don't know what was going on. But
so there were actual blue balls there?
There apparently were some balls that they met near.
Like these, what kind of balls?
I don't know. It's what it said on the little museum plaque.
I'm so curious, like what the balls were made out of for some reason. These like clay balls, they're just huge. These huge stone balls, like the texture.
Stone balls, maybe. Or maybe they were rocks that were painted blue or had a blue tint.
They were circular. A little round, you know.
Circular. One was larger than the other. Sort of joking aside, the countryside was gorgeous. They have all kinds of jellies and butters and knitted things and whittled things. And it seemed like a lot of, they were really pushing milk up there. So I'm assuming there's a lot of milk producers, dairy, a lot of signs up about milk, raw milk, drink milk.
Okay. Yeah.
So I feel like there were a lot of dairy farmers there.
Let's see, because Wisconsin's all about cheese, right? So maybe mm-hmm, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I think there's Amish cheese too, but
so I feel like Pennsylvania is trying to like find its niche with milk.
Yeah. And milk and milk. Like,
we're the milk state.
So you had according to the plaque in the museum, you have to milk a cow twice a day, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Exactly 12 hours.
And if you don't do that, they explode.
Whoa, they explode?
But it did say you had to milk them at 5.
And it didn't say they would not explode, so you can only assume that.
It didn't say they wouldn't explode. So I'm assuming that if you didn't milk them, that something bad might happen.
That makes sense. No, that's logical. I'm glad you've read into that subtext. Yeah. Like,
you know, I don't think I saw anybody Amish that wasn't in a buggy, although it's possible that I did, but I didn't. Maybe they were incognito.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that sentence again.
I didn't meet anybody Amish that wasn't in the...
That wasn't in the buggy? Okay.
Right. They were all in the buggy.
which, by the way, like, that's such a Southern thing, isn't it? Buggy?
I guess what would we call it? Is it not a buggy? A cart. Yeah. Yeah, buggy. That's what I would say, a buggy. There's an Amish community near Sunbright, I think.
Wait, we got the Amish here?
I think there are Amish in Tennessee. Yes. I think
our equivalent to the Amish are tractors, you know, like their buggies. Like our equivalent is like tractors being in the way. Tractors.
I've never seen in Tennessee the buggies on the road or the carts on the road. I've seen tractors on the road. So, or a what's the car that has the body of a car and the bed of a truck?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't.
Got like the best of both worlds. El Camino? Yeah. That's just a totally useless vehicle.
why is it useless?
I mean, you got no room. I mean, you got room for two, and then you've got sort of a low truck bed thing that I guess you could put stuff in, but you can't put
your
two
other friends there.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you're driving with illegally where you're in the back, that would be just fine.
Even if it wasn't legal, Jeff, I mean, I'm not encouraging people to do illegal things, but I've always seen it done here in the South that people just ride in the beds of trucks and beds of cars.
There's that used to happen more in the past. I mean, the 70s and 80s,
they were a bedtime.
car safety stuff
out the window.
There was none. There were no seat belts. You were in the back of the truck driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour. There were no seat belts. There were no car seats. It was just survival of the fittest. We'd get in a station wagon in the back little carried area. There'd be like 12 people in a car. You know, it was just chaos.
Utter chaos.
No bicycle helmets. No, none of that.
It got better around the 90s, but it was still a little lax.
Well, that's what's wrong with the kids today. They're pampered. they didn't have to risk their life riding in the back of a station wagon that had paneling on the side.
Pull down screens and built-in DVD players.
Yeah, they are. Exactly.
How fucking dare they?
Now I don't feel like that was an interesting time, and it did create you're not in the 70s time where things were just totally like there were no rules. But I think you've grown up in a different time than these new folks are growing up. I love these new folks. I love the 18-year-olds. I think they're got it together. Mm-hmm. They're focused.
Yeah, I think
they're not going to put up with a 40-hour work week. They aren't. They're just going to say, screw it. I'm not working 40 hours.
God, and it's slowly changing, but I don't know. I don't know how you fix it other than gather up all the rich people and just
talk about
them. Huh?
Talk about some messed up shit, and this is a total, well, it's not a total change, but there's this documentary out called Shiny mm-hmm. Happy People, which is about, it's about the Duggar family, the 20 kids and counting thing. It's some really messed up shit. It's definitely a well-made documentary, but they followed this crazy, very patriarchal, very sort of punishment focused. So one of the techniques that this kind of process was that the Duggars followed was called blanket training.
Okay.
So you put an infant on a blanket on the floor, and then you put one of their treats off the blanket. And when they crawl to the treat, you take it away from them and you spank them until they don't go off the blanket. So you break their will.
Jeez, and they're doing this to babies?
Yeah. It's one of the techniques. That's
so crazy.
For training your children. Yeah. So you set them up by taking the things that they like, put them off the blanket. It's a very oppressive kind of patriarchy. And the male answers to God, and the women folk answer to the man. It shows where some of our, it's just, religion is so mm-hmm. patriarchal for the most part, not all of it. But organized Christian religion is very patriarchal, at least the evangelical piece of it.
Just trying to make everyone a fucking bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it strives to do. It's your fucking, God is your daddy.
Yeah, literally and physically.
You beg for his fucking forgiveness.
Unless you're a man, and then you can get away with whatever you want.
Because God's one of the boys.
God is one of the boys. Jebediah was not really doing anything when he beat that child, or blah blah blah. And it was
a different time.
It was a different time. So
that's crazy.
I mean, if any Amish are listening, I hope that they can take it the joke, because we don't really hate thee. I'm worried that this is going to get back to them.
They do not use electricity at all. What makes you think they're using the internet?
I don't know, but I mean, and it would take about. It would take them a long time to get down here on their cart and horses. But if they got down here and they found us, they might be angry.
Yeah, it's going to take them forever to get down here.
You know, I'll be 80, and so I'll be in a nursing home, and some Amish man will just come in and punch me in the mouth and walk away. And then I'll know that it got back to them.
I just don't.
I'll know eventually. I will know that they heard what I said about the Amish.
I mean, and think about what we've actually said, you know?
Okay. They're strong. They wear funny pants. They've got bad haircuts.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about their NASA program. I mean, like, we're not dropping secrets.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I think if we talk about their space aspirations. That could possibly get us into trouble.
Yeah, that's what's going to get us shot, Jeff, is talking about their space program. But
do they use guns? I guess a gun is not
like a musket.
Machine.
Maybe.
I guess you have to shoot a cow every now and then.
Hold on. That's a good question. Cow. Do Amish use guns? I feel like they do.
Are there any Amish experts out there that we could consult? Also, any anti-Amish lawyers for defamation, just in case any of this gets back to them. We may need a good legal team to take care of us.
This is the episode you're worried about getting flagged.
Yes, Spotify has flagged this
for hateful content towards
the trigger warning. Extreme Amish hatred. If you're Amish, turn it off now.
See, you know, Jeff, I think there is a big difference between the Amish and these newfangled tolls that take a picture of your license plate and invade all of your privacy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we didn't run into any of those. We didn't run, but they were around. But we did not run into them.
That's good. That's good. Because, you know, that's treading on your rights. I feel it's in treading.
What do you think about the red light camera?
Oh, yeah. I got one of those in the mail. And, like, I was freaking out, like, wondering if I had to pay it. And I looked it up, and I was just like, fuck them.
No. You don't have to. And they make it feel like that you do have to pay it. And then if you don't pay it, they send you a letter from a law firm that says you have to pay it. But if you read on it, it says this can't affect you legally, it can't affect your license, and it cannot affect your insurance. So it's a big money making scam. Oh
man, those are up there with the tolls. Those red lights.
I don't like it. I think they're going to have some toll roads in Tennessee soon. So we're going to I don't know what we're going to have to do to keep you from just totally
get the going crazy pass.
Because what's the toll fit?
I mean, from what I understand, it's going to be to Nashville. I'm like, I don't go to Nashville a lot, but still I'll get a little fast pass or I'll fight it. I'll take it to the Supreme Court.
I'm not a libertarian person that is like anti-taxes, but I was trying to think of like the kind of taxes we pay on stuff. And it's just like, so there's taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes. So like we pay for gas and then the state has a tax. The federal government has a tax. If we buy alcohol, there's a state tax on top of the alcohol that's on top of the sales tax, right? So they pay like an excise tax or an incise tax. I don't know. I didn't listen in economics, but everything has a tax on it.
Oh, yeah. Sales tax.
I mean, but like alcohol has an extra tax on it because alcohol is controlled and taxed in a different way. So I think there's and it's also like a non-required thing. So it can be heavily taxed, like cigarettes or whatever. And I'm wondering if they're going to figure out how to start taxing the CBD stuff. I mean,
they kind of already do in a way.
It's expensive, man. CBD stuff. Even without the Delta 8 stuff, it's expensive. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it was legalized, if, let's say, pot was legalized in Tennessee, would the prices go down? Because then they would federally tax it. But at least it would be regulated, right? You'd know what you're getting is.
Yes, it would be regulated. I don't think it would necessarily go down. But we'd have an overall higher quality of it, and thus it would be able to do its job, its purposes. Because a lot of people, like, yes, of course, you can get high off of it, but a lot of people also use it for medicinal purposes.
Yeah. Well, and I think the whole thing is there's no regulation, so you don't know if you buy CBD from a place, if there's any, you don't know what it is. It's probably fentanyl.
Like from a store?
I mean, since there's no regulation. Well,
there is regulation for the CBD that's sold in stores.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, there has to, yeah.
Well, I don't really get mine from a store. Right. There's a guy. He has a car, burnout car.
Are you sure it's, and you sure it's and CBD?
I throw him like.
You sure it ain't THC?
I don't know what it is. It might be. I don't know why this makes me think of this. Do you know who G.G. Allen is?
Oh, yeah. I know who G.G. Allen is. I watched his documentary and listened to some of his music.
Is it good?
No, it's not good.
Now, those of you who do not know G.G. Allen, I think is the way they say it in French.
G.G. G.G.
G.G.
G.G.
He was a punk rock. I guess that's a performance artist, punk rocker.
He's a punk hardcore punk rock artist.
And I do feel like he may have played in Knoxville before. But he was extreme, and I think he was in jail some, and then he died young. But he was an extreme performance artists, bodily fluid artists. But so the music's bad.
Oh yeah, the music's not good. It's like die when you die, when you die, when you die, die when you die, when you die, you're gonna die. It's not.
So it's like punk, but not really much thought going into it.
I mean, there's the thought of killing and doing fucked up things. I mean that, but I mean that yeah. That was Gigi.
yeah. That, if you knew Gigi, that was your
stick. If you know Gigi.
Gigi Allen.
Oh, if you know Gigi Allen, he loved getting naked and putting bananas in his bumpkiss.
I think one of his sticks was to defecate on stage, if I'm correct.
Yes, it was to defecate, butt naked, fight the crowd, shit on stage.
Yeah.
The documentary I watched, I think it's called Hatred. It was directed by Todd Phillips, who went on to do Old School and the Joker
and Hangover and Joker. And,
yeah. One of his first movies was the documentary on Gigi Allen. And like one of the scenes is like this college campus where he's having a public speaking, and he walks up to the stage, gets butt naked, and he does, in fact, shove a banana up his ass.
All right.
He starts like eating at it, throwing it out to the kids. College kids.
Nice.
Yeah. What a fucked up.
And, you know, I'm not making, you know, there's something about performance art that sometimes gets to the extreme. And that's not, I guess I'm sort of a performance artist in ways, but I'm not an extreme performance artist.
Right. I can kind of see that.
I'm a gentle performance artist.
I feel you there.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be too like, but isn't kind of everyone a performance artist nowadays? Like, it's not like anyone really like, and oh my God, they do too. They'll get on Facebook and complain about how sad they are. Never mind.
I do feel like social media is a projection of a certain image of yourself. And so in that case, I think we all are performance artists where we are presenting who we want the world to see us as, mm-hmm. instead of the reality of who we are.
Which are bastards.
And that's, you know, that gets back. We talked a little bit about therapy before we started recording. And what therapy is about is being really who you are and feeling safe enough to go to those places that are uncomfortable or unpleasant, so you can heal from those things.
That's kind of my thought too. Yeah, like I don't know if this is going to be the right wording, but it's my wording. I think therapy only works if you believe in it, kind of, and if you're 100% honest. Because if you're not honest, you're not going to honestly fix your problems.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. It works if you work it. You have to go and be willing to. It doesn't matter who your therapist is. There's good therapists, not so good therapists. Mm. But unless you go and really give your all and really work, it's not going to work for you, because it's about you sharing these very sensitive, scary things, feeling bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. The willingness to feel bad and to feel sad and to take off the facade of normal, where we put on a facade, you know, when we're at work, we have to be a certain kind of person. Yeah. And it's taking that off and just being real. Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard to do, but it can be also incredibly healing.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Amish go to therapy.
I mean, there's gotta be some sort of Amish therapy, right? Right.
They have that Rumspringa thing, right? That's where the kids go out into the world.
That's more like a growing up, you know, what's the Jewish equivalent? Fuck, it's not a brisk.
No.
It's, okay, hold on. What's the Spanish equivalent? Quinceañera.
or a walkabout. It's like you're going out in the world, right? You're just trying out what the world has to offer.
Deciding if you want to go out and live in the real world, or do you want to like experience it and then come on home and never join it.
That seems like a sort of a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Try it out.
Yeah.
You brought up the bris thing. I'm wondering if Amish are circumcised.
Oh. Oh, God, no. Probably not at all, Jeff. They definitely look like turtles and turtlenecks.
I mean, where do they have their kids in a hospital? Or like a field?
They rub some dirt in it, right? No, like surely...
They have a birthing buggy.
The Amish got to be a little more involved than that. They got to have like a doctor, Dr. Amish.
An Amish doctor?
Yeah. Oh, here's your problem there.
You need some more cheese. You got some curds stuck in there. You're all stuck up with curds.
You haven't been doing your chopping. Yeah.
You need to do some more chopping and milking. Barled.
Half the
build two barn. Call me in the morning.
Half the darn cows exploded because they weren't milked on time. Why don't you get on down to that?
Exploding cows everywhere. Build a barn. Call me in the morning. Except they couldn't. I wonder if they could use a telegraph.
I don't know if a telegraph. See, that's what I'm wondering. Like, where's their line?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
because it's not plexiglass.
I mean, they won't even use the radio. I highly doubt they're going to hear the podcast, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to probably talk to some attorneys, just because about 6 months, whatever, when will this go out? Maybe 6-7 weeks from now?
Yeah, like 7 months.
I just don't want to feel the wrath of the Amish.
You don't want to get that hate mail? Like, hey, I'm Amish, and I listen to podcasts just
Star
fine.
Wars, well. Wrath of the Amish.
Oh, Jeff, I think this has reached its logical conclusion a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think we probably need to stop while we're at it. If we can keep from upsetting any kind of religious cult or sect.
Before
that'd be great.
Before we get lashed out by litigation, before we get...
Yes. Canceled.
Is the Amish, that's the one that's going to get us, really?
Is the Amish comment? Is that what was people found offensive?
Tyler and Jeff apologize for
crude. For the Amish issue.
For crude Amish comments.
Exposing the Amish. Amish confidential.
Well, that's kind of our final thought is that Amish... Don't sue us.
We hope not to be sued by the Amish.
But from all of us at Everything is Traumatic, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Jeff.
Please, take care of yourself. And please, Mr. Amish, don't sue us.
Don't sue us. We don't have anything to take.
Yeah.
We have no livestock.
We got nothing, man. Good night, good morning, good evening.